For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Thank you for this great opportunity to be here to hear your word. It's an opportunity that many are looking for but cannot have. But we are so lucky, so blessed, so fortunate, Lord, by your grace to have this opportunity. Therefore, we say thank you. To you be the praise. To you be the glory. It is you. It is you who has kept us even up to today. It is you who gave us a good week even up to today. So we bless you. We say have your own way amongst us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We had a very wonderful Agabapto Fest yesterday. Despite the rain, we enjoyed it in the rain. Amen. Well, this morning I want to start a new series. We just finished feeding 5 to 7. So we're going to start another series. And I want to talk to you about how you can overturn a curse. Woo! All right? How you can. It's only one person who is excited. Amen. How you can overturn a curse. Amen. I don't know how or whether you believe that the world is full of many curses. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible talks about the fact that the whole creation groaneth. Yeah, the whole creation groaneth. Whole creation is in pain. There are curses. If you believe in blessings, also believe that there are curses. Yes, and when you talk about curses, it's not because you are being superstitious. It is because curses are also real. Curses are as real as blessings. There are blessings and there are curses. Believe it. Amen. Now, when you talk about curses, you are talking about darkness. There is no, or there are no curses in light. When there is light, there is no curses. Because light drives away darkness. In John chapter 1, we read about Jesus, isn't it? How he became flesh, isn't it? And that he's the life and the light. The Bible says in John that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness is always overturned and over. Put your hands together for the latest couple in town. Mr. and Mrs. John, you have to come to the front. You can't marry and not and sit in the middle. Come. Today you are going to share the front seat with me. Would you like an interview? Yes. Lady Pastor Michelle, relax. You are too tense. Relax. No, come and sit. Sit with me. Oh, yeah. Sit with me. Come and sit with me. Yes. We'll give them a private interview after. No, not yet. Amen. All right, so where were we before that joyous moment? Yeah, so darkness is always overcome by light. Always. So where there is light, okay, wherever there is light, curses disappear. When you read Deuteronomy 28, it's real. And in fact, that is why Christ died. Christ died, Bible says that, so that we will be delivered from the curses, isn't it? And when you read Deuteronomy 28, you see all the blessings and the curses. If something is not a blessing, it's a curse. It doesn't matter how it came. You can describe and you can, you know, explain how it's genetic, it was passed on, but whatever, it's still a curse. Eh? If you have malaria, whether you were bitten by Anopheles species of mosquito or some others, Aedes, there are different species of mosquitoes. It's still malaria. You understand? So it is what it is. All right? And so when we talk about how you can overcome or turn over a curse, don't think that you are not cursed. You should be interested. And by the time we are done, you would see that it is something that you need to pay attention to. Yeah. When you read Deuteronomy 28, you see God starts by blessing. If you obey his voice, blah, 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 blah. Few things. Then he goes to verse 15, says, when you do not obey his voice, these also shall follow you. And those are curses. Yes. And the chapter was too short to enumerate all the curses. That so he ends by saying things like that, similar things. So that in case you don't see that thing that you think you are not thinking about, you are thinking about, it's not there. You would not make the excuse that that is an exemption. So curses are real. Do you see? And God wants us to be out of curses. Amen. That is why Jesus Christ died. You see, but there's a problem. A lot of people just think that once you accept Jesus, once you kneel down and say, Lord, come into my life, everything ends. No, that is the beginning of everything. Because the Bible says that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. You have a responsibility. You do have a responsibility. You do have a responsibility as a Christian, as a child of God, to know God's word, to know what God says, and to know the provisions that he has made for you to stay out of those curses. Amen. See, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of them. How you can overturn a curse. Yes. My spiritual father, Bishop Doug, has written a whole book on how to overcome curses. Fat, big book. Wow. Yeah. Because curses are real. Yes. And when you talk about curses, you are not being superstitious. Tap your neighbor and say, are you understanding what the pastor is trying to share? Say, ask them, is a message settling in your heart? And are you ready to hear some word? Now, listen to this. In Psalm 119, verse 130, let's look at it. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 190 is one of the longest chapters in the Bible. Lots of verses. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy word, it giveth light. I tried to look at the meaning of the word entrance. You see, the Old Testament was written in what? Hebrew, isn't it? And the New Testament in Greek and translated. Sometimes you must have, to get a clearer meaning, you must look at, you know, Wednesday I was talking about how I was brought up in this church. At the point when I was a shepherd, I was told there are certain things that you need. But when we go for meetings, they will ask us, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have that? One of it was Strong's Concordance. And another one was Dick's Bible. You cannot have a meaningful Bible study without having all these tools. You have to look at certain Greek words. Because when you look at it, you see, entrance of thy words. So what is entrance? Now, that word is actually translated from the Hebrew. It is translated as entrance, opening, and disclosure. Now, disclosure got me excited. Yes. Because when you talk about disclosure, you are talking about how you can gain new and secret information. Wow. So what he's saying here is that the entrance of thy words, the process where you get secrets and new information about his word, that is when light comes. The disclosure of thy words giveth light. You see, and that is where the line is drawn. You will now begin to see the difference between lazy Christians and non-lazy Christians. Because the lazy Christian wants to sleep and eat. The lazy Christian would not want to fast. The lazy Christian would not want to take his Bible. The lazy Christian would, yeah. And listen, you see, sometimes we get very comfortable at a certain level. Yeah. It looks like everything is working for you. In fact, I'm always alarmed when I feel in my heart that, wow, Gilly, you are comfortable. Immediately I begin to pray, Lord, forgive me for pride. Forgive me. It's a very dangerous place to be. And it's a deception. Because your apparent stability is no guarantee of future success. The only thing that guarantees future success and continuation of success is le pali matu kalamba changre ele sungrubunga katape chepele marada liabro omboru ungede. So don't be deceived by what you see. Don't be deceived by what you feel. For there is more. There is more from where that little came from. Amen. So strive to go higher. Amen. And walk into the more. For there's more abundance. Say the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Don't be confused. That is tongues and interpretation. Amen. There should be more of that. Yes. Because that is our dispensation. We're walking in that dispensation. Amen. Don't just be interested in speaking in tongues. Sometimes relax and ask God, are you saying something to me? Yes, that is what it is. Amen. 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 So, don't just be comfortable where you are because there is more. Yeah. Bishop one day had a vision. And in the vision, he was somewhere on a road. And I think he got to a place and there was so much gold. And he was so excited. Started picking it up. Then the Lord said to him, No. No, don't pick them up. Go. This is just skirmishes. There's more ahead. Yes. Yeah. But a lot of us, we get excited by the little. Yes. Right now you are swimming in a little dollars and you are so happy. Whoa, it's raining. It is raining. There's a song like that, right? All around us. Yeah. Yeah. But there's more. Yes. If only you would flow with God and keep moving. There are higher heights to be rich. Amen. So where was I again, Macaria? You are not doing your job. Yeah. So the disclosure of God's word, you see, and that's what I'm saying, that is where lazy Christians, the line is drawn. Yeah. There is a responsibility that is upon every Christian to learn, to read, to study, to pray, and to follow God. If you don't, you will not experience certain things. Yeah. Bishop Ayinipo always says that faith is hard work. Yeah, it's labor. It is the laboring that takes us into the rest of God. Yes, I'm always trying to listen to messages. I'm trying to soak in messages. I'm trying to read. Yeah, my only limitation is tiredness. Yeah, I wish I had more time. Wow. Yeah, sometimes I take the books and I just put them on me and then I end up sleeping. But I'd rather sleep in the midst of books. Yeah. As we go on, I'll show you that one of the ways to be blessed is to read. Amen. Are you here or you've gone home? Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16 to 17. Hebrews 12, 16 to 17. Do you have the New American Standard Bible? Do we have it? Let's use that. All right? There's a reason. I'm copying my father. That's the version he used. So let's use that. No, not the NLT, New American Standard Bible, NASB. Do you have it? All right, I'll read it. It says that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright. We'll read that passage in a minute. For a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with all tears. Did you read that? Let me read it again. It says that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau. So Esau is being described as a godless, immoral person who sold his own birthright. He sold his blessing. He rejected his blessing. A blessing that naturally could come to him, he rejected just for a meal. Yeah. Soup. But it's true. As Christians, sometimes we just exchange great blessings, destined for great blessings, just for a moment of pleasure. Yes. Just for a moment of pleasure, we easily give up blessings. God is describing Esau as godless. Godless and immoral. There's a Greek word for that called babelos. Or bebelos. Bebelos. B-E-B-E-L-O-S. Bebelos. Okay? It means a godless, unsacred person. Ready to give up. You see, but maybe you haven't sold your blessing yet. You haven't exchanged it. See, you haven't exchanged it yet for food. But perhaps even your attitude towards the blessing. When we are talking about blessing, when we are talking about how you can overturn a curse, it's like, what topic is this? Where come it from? Where come it this topic? What unnecessary topic? Reverend, don't you have other topics you can talk about? Isn't there something else we can preach about? Tell me something, how I can make money. Tell me something, how I can be prosperous. Tell me something, how I can buy more cars. Tell me something, how I can even get more houses. Tell me something. But you see, the wisdom is that you do not see that this is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. Because the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And added no sorrow. It is wealth that will make you rich. And there will be no sorrow. You see, some wealth and richness, it comes with sorrow. You can't even sleep. But the blessing, that is why I want blessing. I value blessings more than anything. I want to place myself in a position where I get blessed. Yes. I love blessings being proclaimed over me. Amen. Yeah. One of my favorite things, I keep telling you, when I go home to Ghana, my grandmother just turned 102 yesterday. Yes. Old lady, very clear in mind. Yeah. She brought me up from the early age, my early age. She looked after me. I grew up even thinking she was my mother because my mom and dad were abroad. I always stop. I say, Grandma, bless me. Oh, and then she would put her hand. Amen. I love blessings. When my father-in-law speaks a blessing over me, when my mother speaks a blessing, I love it. I prefer it more than, you see, blessings are like, you see, it's like a hungry person that you are teaching them how to fish. They will have fish forever. It's quite different from giving them fish. No matter how much fish, you can give them a carton of fish, they'll finish it. But the blessing, it maketh rich. So God is cautioning us not to be like Esau, who sold his birthright and was a bebelos. Don't be like him. Amen. So those of you who can't remember what Esau did, let's read. Genesis 25. We'll read from verse 29 to 34. It says, "And Jacob sought pottage." Where from this English? Now let's go to the King James. "And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage.'" The soup looked red. Probably it was palm nut soup with the red oil floating. He couldn't stand it. He could not stand it. He could not stand it. "For I am faint. Myself has come. I cannot wait." Kenke, now you have had what you wanted. You see, when we used to counsel them, we talk to them. I say, "Just wait, be patient. You can see the fire." Spoons. Just like Moses in the back now. Yeah. When you talk to Moses, sometimes I just can't wait. I just can't. You see, a lot of young people, they think that marriage is all about sleeping together with your wife. There's more to it. Yeah. Yeah. When you get to Uncle Charles and my age, you see that you can be there for a long time. You can't even remember. You are too busy. There are more important things. Piero, isn't it also? There are more important things. You can walk around for a long time. You can't even remember that there are more important things that we must do. Yeah, but when you are young, you feel that that is the only thing. So now you have it. Where were we? Let's continue the scripture. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same." Go to the next verse, please. "And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright." I mean, Jacob was smart. He was wise. Hey! Because he saw that this guy, I mean, just by virtue of being the first to come out of his mother's womb, carried a certain legal blessing. You see, just because, listen to this carefully. Just because you are born again, just because you gave your life to Jesus Christ, just because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are entitled to certain blessings. Yes, you are entitled. Amen. Certain blessings are yours. Amen. Guaranteed. If only you would do what you need to do. And Jacob saw, he said, this is my senior brother, is carrying something. So when he saw the opportunity, he said, "Hey, for the soup, give me your birthright. Give me your birthright." And watch what happens. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." You won't die. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You won't die." Yes, you won't die. You won't die. That is what we call labor. It is like a woman in labor. Mika, yes, one day you go to the labor ward. You experience what it means to be in labor. With blessings. Yeah. Labor is hard. There'll be a point you feel like you are fainting. There'll be a point you feel like it's over. My God, is it not so? You will feel that, but that does not mean you should sell your birthright. That does not mean sometimes our Christian walk and our Christian life, you get to a point you feel like this is the breaking point. Why am I still serving the Lord? It's a deception. Satan is trying to help you to sell your birthright and say, "Okay, enough." And many times, Christians just turn their backs on God just before, because they feel faint, they feel weak. But Esau fell for it. And that is why the Bible calls him a bebelos, unsacred. unholy, immoral. Yeah. Not spiritual. Say, what profit shall this birthright do to me? It's profitable. It is profitable. It is profitable unto all things. It has a promise of this life. It is not a suffer to gain. It has a promise of this life and then the life to come. There are blessings to be reaped here on earth. And that is why you must not sell it. No matter how weak you feel. No matter how faint you feel. Don't give up. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But hold on to it, because there is a blessing. If only you would do the right thing and take responsibility and play your part and labor and continue to labor, you will have that which God has planned and blessed you with. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to the verse quickly. Let's finish that. Behold, I'm at the point of to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Next verse. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. That's a signing of contract. You know, those days that was a signature. I swear, a signature, you sign. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up, and he went his way. Thus Esau despised. He despised. Don't despise your blessings. I said, don't despise your blessings. So what did this blessing do for Jacob? And what did Esau miss on? Number one, the blessing that Esau despised, given to Jacob, made him a great and famous nation. It made him a great and famous nation. Genesis 27 and verse 37. Just put up that verse. All the 3 points will be in that verse. So three things that happened to Jacob and Esau missed on. He says, and Isaac answered and said unto him, unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. Behold, I have made him thy Lord. Because now he's received a blessing. I have made him thy Lord. I have made him. So Jacob became a great and famous nation. The blessing number two, the blessing that Esau despised, keep the verse up there. The blessing that Esau despised and that was given to Jacob made him the master of his brethren. Yeah. I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And then the last one, the blessings that Esau despised, given to Jacob, sustained him through his life. Look at the last part of the verse. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. With corn and wine, God's blessings will sustain you. Yes, God's blessings will sustain you. All right? So, ladies and gentlemen, when I talk about a topic, how to overturn a curse, all right? We're going to look into the Word of God and look into secrets, new secrets, or secrets that maybe you knew, but it hasn't entered you yet. And I believe that as we share them, it will enter you. And as it enters you, and this revelation gets hold of you. You see, one of the keys about revelation is not revelation until you walk in it. Otherwise, it just remains head knowledge. And we have a lot of head knowledge. In fact, a lot of us would easily write an exam on Bible knowledge and have an AA+. But that is not what makes it work. It is when it's entered into your heart and you have believed it. That's revelation. And you walk in. That's wisdom. Practical. That is when you begin to see the fruits thereof. So we'll look at some of the things that bring blessings into your life. That bring light. That bring blessings. And when the blessings enter, curses must go. Amen. And I see many curses living your life. Amen. Do you believe it? All right. Put your hand on your heart as we close in prayer. Just begin to pray for yourself this morning as you have heard this word of God. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, in this next few weeks, deliver me. Deliver me through your word. Deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. Deliver me from curses. Let my life turn around. Let curses in my life be overturned. And let me walk in blessings as I hear your word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for the eminent blessing that is coming into our lives as we hear your word. Let, oh God, the entrance of your word, let that be a great entrance in the next few weeks, Lord. Let that be entrance in Jesus' name. Entrance, real entrance that would practically change lives, that people can point to and say, I used to be like this and I'm no more like this. And now look at the blessings that has come over my life. Thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless. With every head still bowed, every eye closed, don't look around, please. Bow your head, close your eyes. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to say, Pastor, pray for me, pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. Just raise up your hand and I will pray for you. Don't leave this place without assurance of salvation. Leave this place knowing that you have Jesus. Leave this place that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number two, or you are here and you have maybe you gave your life to Christ, you received Jesus a while ago, but you are not walking in the light as you ought to. You are not walking with him. You know in your heart that you are not walking with Jesus the way you ought to. And you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to pray with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just slip up your hand gently and I'll pray with you. Anybody here like that? Anybody? Anybody? You want to say, I want to walk with God in a better way. And I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Anybody here? All right. Every head still bowed, every eye closed. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for me. You shed your blood for me to redeem me because you love me so much. I accept you today as my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. I want to walk with you closer than ever. I want to be dedicated to you closer than ever. I want to know you more than ever. And thank you that by this prayer, that work has begun in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all the saints shall say, amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.